This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers and Anthony Lynn. Coach, great to catch up with you again. How you been?
Hey, I've been fine, man. Been fine. Just laying low and doing a lot of Zoom meetings and trying to keep the football team connected that way.
How difficult has this been? Obviously, there's the family stuff going on. You want to make sure your family is okay, but you're also a leader of men, and you're born to be a competitor in your profession as well. And right now, everyone is doing things differently. So how have you adjusted as not only a father and also a husband, but also as a football coach during these times?
Well, you said it, man. First and foremost, we got to take care of each other and our families, and that's number one. But you know, this time of year, we're normally back at work and together as a team. And so since we can't do that, you know, we've had to be really creative in how we install and teach and try to keep our team connected. And I have a really good group of coaches that are excellent teachers and very creative in how we get this information across to our players. So it's been pretty educational for all of us. And, you know, we've been doing it for going on almost 2 months now. So it's almost like the new normal for us. So it's and I think it's no big deal for the young people because they've been doing this all along. You know, I mean, this is the first time in my life I've ever Zoomed or FaceTimed somebody. So, but that's become pretty normal these days.
What do you tell your players with all this uncertainty? I know it's not like the college player coach relationship, it's a business. But what do you tell your players? Because there is that bond.
Well, I tell them, I said, you know, at one point, we're going to come back together and we're going to play football. And, you know, one team is going to handle this situation better than the other of the one teams. And that might as well be us, hell. So I think you can create a competitive advantage here by how you handle the situation. But, I also encourage my players to reach out to one another, especially the new guys. You know, reach out to the new guys, welcome them to the team. And it doesn't hurt to give a guy a phone call or a Zoom call and just to stay in touch that way because, you know, we really believe that, you know, we have to trust one another to get to where we want to be. And that's not going to happen if you don't know the man beside you. So we're making every effort we can just to be creative that way.
And that's a big thing, especially with the young players, because right now they're usually in your building and you could work on a lot of things with them. Right now, how do you try to get those young players up to speed? And is there even a greater learning curve now that could affect how they play in the season with some of the different preparation styles?
Well, I tell you what, our young players are wearing me out because I've divided my 25 rookies up into groups of six and one group has seven. And we're meeting at 7 a.m. No matter where you're at, I'm trying to get them in a routine, and we're meeting at 7 a.m. And if you're on the East Coast, well, obviously that's 4 a.m. for me. And so I'm up at 3:15 getting ready for a 4 a.m. meeting. But what we're doing in those meetings is, you know, yeah, we're talking football, we're talking culture, but we're also talking personal history. And I'm trying to get these guys to get to know one another that way. So that when they get here, we're not all strangers. You know, I want to hit the ground running. I want to feel like, you know, you've been in the hole. You've been in the trenches with this guy. And because, you know, you've been vulnerable with him maybe over Zoom, you know, just something that you may be telling him, something that you had to overcome in your life to be here today. And so I just think those type of connections are really important. But we're also really creative in how we're installing our playbook to these guys. You know, and our coaching staff, they've done an outstanding job of just putting together these install tapes with our players.
Are you living on the East Coast? Are you in New York right now?
No, I'm in California.
Oh, you're in California. Yeah, I was going to say, we miss your wife on television here in New York now. I heard that she went back to live with you.
Yeah, she's out here on the West Coast right now. She's missing New York, though. She's missing New York. She loves New York. I do, too.
Well, we miss her on television. Anthony Lynn, the coach of the Chargers, here with us on CBS Sports Radio. So in the draft, the big takeaway, first round, you guys take a quarterback in Justin Herbert. We saw him a lot at Oregon. Tell me what type of football player Charger fans are getting.
Let me tell you, man, there's a whole lot to like about this young man. You know, he's a four-year guy, so he's a little bit more experienced. You know, he's a winner. He led his team to the Rose Bowl and won the Rose Bowl. MVP of the Senior Bowl. He goes to the combine and competes. You know, a lot of guys go to the combine and they think we come from all over the country to see them stand on the sideline and sweat and look pretty. But no, we come to see you work, interview you, talk, and see you work on the field. And this young man accepted every single challenge. And I just really, really like his competitive spirit. But, you know, he's 6'6, he's mobile, he has a rocket arm, extremely intelligent. It was fortunate to get him when we got him. So I'm happy with the young man, and he's got to be here. We've had some good conversations.
How do you know as a coach when you have a franchise quarterback?
Well, you don't know. I mean, you think New England knew they had a franchise quarterback when they drafted Tom Brady in the sixth round? And, you know, you don't know until they get here and then they play. But, boy, you certainly look for a lot of intangibles and characteristics, and he passed the test in every single one of those, man. I'm telling you.
Anthony Lynn, the coach of the Chargers, here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. So you have a veteran in there as well in Tyrod Taylor. You just drafted Justin Herbert, too. How does that play out whenever we get on a football field? Is it Tyrod's job? Is it Justin's job? Or is it open competition?
No, I've said it all along that Tyrod Taylor's in the driver's seat. But I'm not going to put a timetable on anybody's development. You know, we drafted Justin at number six for a reason. And when he's ready to play, you know, when he wins a job or if he wins a job, he'll be on the football field. You know, but I'm not going to take anything away from Tyrod Taylor. He's definitely earned the right to be here and be in the position that he's in. You know, he was my quarterback before, and the offense to whip out the run, he ran it just fine. So I know exactly what I'm getting to Tyrod Taylor. And I think Justin is going to be in a room with him. And I think he's going to learn a lot from Tyrod. Tyrod is a professional now. He's a young man that everybody on this team respects and admire. And that's hard to do when you're a backup, you know, to be that respected by your teammates. So I believe it's going to just only help Justin.
What will you miss the most about coaching Phillip Rivers?
Man, you know, when you had Phillip under center, you always felt like you had a – you know, you had a chance going into that game because he's so prepared. You know, he really was like a coach on the football field, and he helped a lot of guys around him. And so just missed his spirit. You know, he's very, you know, he can get it pretty emotional, but I like that about him. You know, he wouldn't be filled without those emotions. But sometimes, you know, we clash, but I like that about him too. I like the fact that sometimes the player's willing to speak his mind. And maybe not go along and agree with everything that you're doing. It keeps you on your toes as a coach and the coaching staff. But just his leadership. He's a beautiful person. You know, I had a chance to meet his wife, his family, and we're gonna miss them a lot.
Was it tough to move on from him?
Yeah, it was tough. You know, anytime you move on from a guy that's I think the Hall of Famer one day, you know, it's hard to move on from a guy like that, especially with what he brought to the table. But, you know, we had a very good conversation, and we both felt like it was time. You know, it happens. You know, Joe Montana moved on. Brett Favre moved on. Peyton Manning moved on. You know, it happens to some of the best in the game. So, Phillip, he understood, and you know, he was ready for a new challenge. And I think he's in a good place with Frank Wright. I wish him all the best, unless we're playing him.
Anthony Lynn, the coach of the Chargers, here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Was there ever a chance, was it ever close to him coming back with the Chargers?
You know, yeah, there's always a chance of him coming back. But we wanted to be fair to Phillip. We didn't want this to string out and, you know, he get behind in the free agency race. So So we wanted to be proactive about this, and you know, we approached this up front. I think it was 2 weeks after the season. I believe we had the conversation with him. So, but yeah, in those 2 weeks of trying to figure out what direction we're going in and everything, there was always a chance. But, you know, we made the decision that we made.
There was a big news piece today on NFL.com by Jim Trotter, owners to vote on resolution to incentivize minority head coaches and GM hires, and they're going to do that if it does get approved through draft picks. I know there's a lot to tackle here, but with on the surface and knowing what's going on, what's your reaction to that?
You know, Zach, at some point I knew you were going to bring that up. I just basically just found out about it a few hours ago, you know, of this proposal. And I haven't had a chance to talk with anyone about it, but, you know, just from what I know about it so far, you know, I think sometimes you can do the wrong thing while trying to do the right thing, if that makes sense at all. So I think that there are a lot of qualified African-American coaches right now that could be a head coach in this league, and I just pray that we do our due diligence and give these guys an opportunity. You know, why did I get an opportunity? We could talk about that all day. But, I mean, trust me when I tell you, but there are some qualified applicants, and they need an opportunity. And I just think this is, out of desperation, this is something that's, you know, that we're throwing out there. But, you know, it is what it is.
What can be done to improve the hiring process? Because we all try to find what there is to do the right thing, and you have a story like this, and I think, like you said, there's good intentions, but it doesn't come off well.
You know, you can't make people hire, you know, someone that they don't want to hire for whatever reason, you know. I just think that, you know, networking could be a little better. I think if owners are more familiar with some of these guys, and some of these guys, you know, personal friends of mine, I really believe they would get hired if they were more familiar with them. But sometimes we hire people that we have something in common with, or someone that looks like us, you know, someone that, you know, came from the same background as I did. You're more comfortable doing that. You know, I know I certainly didn't come from other backgrounds that some of these owners came from. So, you know, I was fortunate to get my opportunity with the Spanos. You know, we just connected, and I meet. And I interview, we connected. And so I just think also we could open it up to more people. You know, we're stuck in this, got to be a coordinator. And I understand the progression to becoming a head coach, but I really believe some of our natural leaders are assistant coaches or assistant head coaches. You know, we tend to not go there, but I believe becoming a head coach has nothing to do with being a coordinator. I think those are two different skill sets, you know, being a leader of a franchise and calling plays. There are a lot of brilliant guys that can call plays but can't lead a damn team. And so I just think if we open up the pool, more minorities will have opportunities, and then I think our chances will be better of becoming head coaches. That's just my opinion.
You have a long career in coaching. You started coaching in 2000 with the Broncos, and now you're the head coach of the Chargers. What was your experience like? How do you reflect in order in that process and that grind to eventually one day become a head coach and now have some success in doing it?
You know, it was I learned from some really good people. I have really good mentors. I mean, I can't give myself much credit for being there. I can credit a lot of people that poured their lives into me to help me get here. But I just always knew that I was going to be in this position one day. I just felt that way. And, you know, I was pretty good at what I did and obviously to get the opportunity. But I just felt really good about it, and I just felt like I could connect with anybody. You know, and part of that is how I grew up. I grew up around a lot of people, and I learned from a lot of people. But my connection with people has been – kind of one of my strengths of getting to where I am today. And so, you know, I don't know.
Do you ever think, and not just for a head coaching job, but any job, do you ever think you were passed up for a job because of the color of your skin, Anthony Lynn?
I mean, there were some times when I felt, you know, I interviewed for 6 head coaching jobs before. The Chargers were my 6. You know, and there were some times when I felt like I see some guys getting opportunities before me that I'm not, you know, it just motivated me. It just inspired me to be even better at what I was doing, because I felt like I was ready before them. But I mean, I think anybody can say that. I mean, hell, white coaches can say that. So, it worked out the way it was supposed to for me. That's all I can say.
Regardless of skin colors, we're talking to Anthony Lynn, the coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. When you speak to a young coach, someone that wants to become a head coach one day, or even, you know, any part of the coaching staff in an NFL team, what advice do you give them?
I'll tell you the biggest advice I think I give them is the same one that Spike Dykes gave me when I left Texas Tech. You know, he told me no matter how much football you learn or where that game takes you, always remember that football is a relationship business. And you have to relate to people to be able to get the most out of them. And so I would echo that, because at the time I didn't realize how huge that was. But and when I look back over my career and I think about it, I mean, that is a huge fundamental of coaching football in the National Football League or on any level. It's just relating and communicating and getting the most out of people.
When we look at what you've done with the Chargers, and you see what happened 2 years ago, and then last year you guys had some injuries, and that did derail your season. What did you learn from last year, and what type of football team do you think you have this year, Coach?
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, we had more injuries last year than I can shake a stick at, and that is true. But you can't use that as an excuse. You know, we lost 9 games by score, and as a coaching staff, we have to find a way to win more of those games. And the win with what you have. And so let me just say that, you know, the injuries are not an excuse. Everybody has those injuries. But I when you look at us being 32nd in the league in takeaways and 31st in the league in giveaways, you know, it just reinforces what I've always believed. You cannot win that way. And we're fortunate enough to win 5 games that we won, you know, with those 2 stats. And so we have to get back to protecting the football and taking the football away. And you win a lot of football games just by doing that. You know, I really believe in our league, because of the parity in our league. More games are lost than won. And we got to figure out ways to win games and not lose games.
You know what I think the problem is? If I could give you some advice, if you don't mind, Anthony Lynn, the coach of Los Angeles Chargers. Brian Jones is now a Chargers fan, a good friend of ours, Brian Jones. He's a lifelong Cowboys fan. All he does, Texas Longhorns and the Cowboys and all that. He texts me that now he's a Chargers fan. You got to get him off that bandwagon, and maybe you'll win some more games.
Get him off. I do what I have to do there. Me and Brian and I, we became friends later in life. We were, I don't know if he told you, but we were like enemies. He was like public enemy number one to me for a long time. So maybe I need to get him back on that side there. I heard what you said.
Last time I had you on, I was actually interviewing you with Coach Charlie Weiss, and you told a great story how you stole Coach Charlie Weiss's syllabus, and you still use it to this day. Give me your best Brian Jones story now.
Oh, well, I mean,
I don't even know if you can tell any of them on air, probably.
I'm trying to think of a PG one right now. I can't think of one.
That's Brian. A lot of cursing probably in those conversations.
A lot of cursing and a lot of bad, but
and a lot of Texas Longhorns losing, right?
No question.
Last one for you, Coach, before we let you run, and this was a real treat, and I do appreciate your time. There's been a lot of conversation before the draft, and you guys eventually end up with Justin Herbert, about Cam Newton. Did you guys explore that? Was that ever close, bringing in Cam?
Absolutely. You know, Cam's a tremendous quarterback. He's been MVP of this league. He's led his team to the Super Bowl, you know, and he's healthy now, from what I hear. So Cam's going to be on somebody's roster. He's going to help somebody win a few games. But, yeah, we did take a look at that for sure.
Was there a reason why you didn't end up bringing him in and signing him?
Well, I mean, I feel really good about the quarterback room that I have. You know, with Tyrod Taylor, Easton Stick, who's a guy that a lot of people don't talk about, but, you know, he was, I think, Division I, Double A. He won, like, 3 national championships. You know, the kid was, like, 51-1. He's a hell of a leader. He's a hell of a professional. I believe he has a bright future in this league one day. But with him, Tyrod Taylor, knowing that we had an opportunity to get one, picking 6th in the draft, you know, all those, you know, all those decisions came into play when talking about Cam.
Coach, always do appreciate your perspective and your time. Good health. Good luck to you and your family, and we'll get you on again soon. Thanks so much.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.